How you gone? Yeah, man, welcome to NBA Australia. It's Tuesday, March 6th. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, staring at a couple of sketchy-looking dudes on the top of this brownstone opposite me. What do we got, like, four Russian dudes, a couple of Latino fellas? Great. Onion boys, hey, there you go, nice. That's right, man, we're here making sure that you know everything that's going on in the NBA. Who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. Repping Australia, talking NBA junk for your favorite daily NBA podcast. And we're wrapping all the NBA games from last night, and it was a fun one. Oh, Jesus, there's a lot going on. It was awesome. Plus, we've got all the usual dumbassery. Yeah, nah, better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day, as we do every day here on NBA Australia. Flame Grilled Whopper. We check on every Australian NBA player to see how they're going, and it's Tuesday all day. So we have the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot random guy going off of the week, All-Star Hall of Fame, the Mangok Mathiang check-in, and we'll finish up with a brand new, hey, how you going? Joe Ingles, HR manager. Oh, I love it. Also, I got a bit of a cold. Apologies. Oh, God damn it. This sucks, doesn't it? But what are you going to do? NBA Australia, let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right. Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the shark attack.
Yeah, you better, because it is the daily whip around. And we do it every day here on NBA Australia. Great night of tanking last night in the NBA. But also, some really good games. It was fun as hell. A lot of good stuff. So, our Tankapalooza teams went 0-4. That's a perfect tanking night. That's awesome. So, the Pistons, not tanking, but they basically looked like it, didn't they? They lose to the Cavs 112-90 in Cleveland. Cleveland finally get another home win. Considering their only home win since the big trades have been against the Nets and Pistons. I don't know, man. Not great. Blake has 25-8-5, 15-9 for Andre Drummond. LeBron, though, 31-7-7. Pretty good. You know, LeBron just out there smashing. But I'll tell you who was even better than that. Well, not actually, but he was very good. Larry Nance Jr. Nice one, Larry. Oh, Junior over there. Career high, 22 points. Career high, 15 rebounds, starting in place of Tristan Thompson. And boy, did he look good. There was just like stuff going on. There's energy on defense, energy on offense. He had an amazing alley-oop from JR that was just like, oh, how did he get up there and get that? And how did JR sit? I don't know. JR may have been taking a shot. Who knows? JR, though, we'll talk about that in a second. Rodney Hood also started here and looked pretty good. He had 14. Cavs, they're hanging on to third in the East by a half-game fingernail still. And the Pistons, oh, Jesus, they're out in ninth, as we talked about yesterday. Are they done? Yeah, they done. Anyway, what about, what do you reckon, Cleveland?
Cleveland!
Cleveland, they're looking okay. You know, sometimes when they play against shit teams like Detroit, yeah, it works okay. Elsewhere, the Pacers eke out a close one against the Bucks. This was an absolute of a game. Because they were both on back-to-backs, both looked tired. Pacers just had a little bit more left in the tank. Eric Bledsoe has 26, but he goes 2 of 10 from 3. Yeesh. Giannis at 18 and 12 in typical Giannis fashion. But look, this comes down to like the last play of the game, basically. We'll get to that in a second. Jabari has 15. Victor Oladipo has not a great one. 14 points, 10 turnovers. Oh, Jesus. But he has now set and Indiana Pacers record by having a steal in 47 straight games. Good job, Victor. Bojan ties a season high there. Bojan Bogdanovic. Killers, Bojan. Yes, let's score 29 points. Is that a good? Yes. 5 of 7 from 3 for Bojan. Hit 2 free throws at the death of this to go up 3 after getting, like, securing a jump ball like a fucking, like, some sort of crazy, like, Tasmanian devil. Just, I've got it. It was pretty good. Jabari, like, so hits his free throws. They go up 3 to the Pacers. 5 seconds left. Jabari passes out of a shot all the way around the perimeter to Giannis, who fakes Thad Young out of his boots, but then sort of half fumbles the ball and then clanks a 3 short arm game. That's it. This is a goddamn shame because Jason Terry blew in Lance Lance Make Him Dance's ear, which would have been legitimately amazing. Jed Terry, though, 41 and just out there sinking threes like it ain't no thing. I absolutely love Jason Terry. I got so much time for that guy. The Bucks bench, they're last in the NBA in bench scoring, averaging 24 points a game. They beat that last night. They had 28. Yeah. Still, not bloody good, is it?
No, it's not, mate. No, it's got.
Pacers keep rolling after their wins on the weekend, sit just behind the Cavs now in fourth. The Bucks. Oh, Jesus. I'll tell you what. They could be doing a little bit better. It's right there. It's right there, Bucks. And I don't know what's going on. It's like, I don't know. We're in eighth. Somehow, they've slipped behind Miami. And thing is, 6, 7, and 8 are all tied on 34 wins. It all just depends on how many losses you got. So they're only one game back out of fifth. So, well, two games out of six. Fifth, rather, one game out of six. Hey, I told you, I got a cold. Come on. Bear with me. Bear with me, damn it. Come on, man. So there you go. Bucks in 8, 34 on 30. Still well ahead of the Pistons, though. So, you know, you reckon they're going to make the playoffs. It just matters in what seed, doesn't it? Nice one. So there you go, Bucks. Pacers, good job. They're in fourth. That is ridiculous, considering I thought they were going to win like 18 games. Not bloody bad. Oh, the Heat blow out the Suns in Miami, 125-103. Goran Dragic, revenge game. Not bad. He has 17-5. Weirdly enough, Goran Dragic, his plus minus is better with Wade off the court. Plus 44, then on. Plus 6 in the 8 games since Wade's return. Yeah, I don't know what that says. Maybe D-Wade, what are you doing there, mate? Whiteside has 24 points, 14 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Not bad. Winslow has an absolute giant cram over Marquise Chris and another Suns defender. Stares down Marquise Chris. Gives him the old Zoe fuck it. Hey, hey, like that. Wipes his mouth and just, yeah, I gotcha, I gotcha. Winslow ends up with 12-12, 5-4. Holy shit. Luke Babbitt made it rain early as well. He went 4 of 11 from 3. The Heat, they just keep on rolling. They need to. They've won 2 straight. Now the Heat have eked it just back up to 5 of their 5 of their last 10 they've won, where it had been a 2-8 stretch. So not bloody bad. Good job, Heat. Suns, TJ Warren with some of his usual empty numbers. 19 points on 15 shots. Ooh, gross. Alfred Payton with 9, 5, and 4. This team sucks, man. It's tough to watch them. Booker had 31 points, though, the only bright spot. 12 of 21 shooting. Dude is amazing. He's also now the 4th player in NBA history with at least 40 30-point games prior to turning 22, joining LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Carmelo. How many do you reckon LeBron had? He had 100. Holy shit. KD had 75. Melo, 45. Not bad. Another blowout. Celtics beat the crap out of the Bulls, 105-89. One of the top 5 uniform matchups in the NBA. It was hard to watch, though, because this was an absolute bloody laugher in the second quarter. They're up by 26 at the half. Celtics just kicked the crap out of them. They are still in second, breathing down the Raps' necks. Kyrie sat this out with left knee soreness, a.k.a. I believe the technical term is the Bulls suck. That's the diagnosis right there. So Shane Larkin started. More power to him instead of Smart or anybody else or even Rose. Brad Stevens didn't want to fuck up the flow of the second unit, which seems fair because Terry Rose and Marcus Smart are very good. For the Bulls, Levine had a Barry Crocker. Absolute shocker. 4 points on 1 of 11 shooting. Not great. Lowry, that's a girl's name. Markkanen had 12. Denzel was their best performer. Denzel Valentine with 25-2. Not bad. Celtics, Jaylen Brown with an excellent 20. Horford had 13. Tatum, 14. Moose with 10 off the bench. And that was it. Celtics kicked the crap out of them. Speaking of not kicking the crap out of somebody, the Spurs. Oh, Jesus. They just eke out a win over the Grizz. Oh, goddamn. This is not great. The Spurs. I don't know, man. So before last night, the Spurs had lost 2. They had gone 2-8 in their last 10 games for the first time since the final 10 games of 96-97, a.k.a. the Tim Duncan Tankapalooza. And, well, there you go. They finally eke one out. They win 198. Grizz have lost 14 straight. This was a Gasol Hermanos showdown. The El Spaniardo brothers taking it at each other. Mark has 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. Pau has 2 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. I think we can say Coach Killer Mark Gasol won that one. But Pau won the war. Only just, though. Big game from Tony Parker, 23-4. LaMarcus Aldridge came back from his ankle injury. Didn't look great, though. He only had 7-8 in 31 minutes. 17 points in 19 minutes, though, for Davis Bertans. Pretty bloody good. Paddy Mills got another start for the Spurs as they try to kickstart the second half of their year. Didn't have a great one. We'll talk about that later in the Australian Player Watch. And thank cripe, the Spurs won that one, though, huh? They were up 8 in basically the last minute and only eked this out because the Grizz suck. There you go. Magic, they lose to the Jazz in Utah, 94-80. Easy July for the Jazz. Magic are a crap show. Kind of kept this one close, but fell apart down the stretch. Good tanking, bro. Good tanking. 15-12 for Vooch. 13-6 for Air Gordon. Jazz, 21-17 for... Oh, I am the Staffel Tower. My name is Rudy Gobert. 12-8 for Rubio. Huge game for the Jingler. Almost triple-double. We'll talk about that in Australian Player Watch, but it was... sublime, mate. Sublime. It was so sublime, it's going to go start a ska band in Long Beach. Yeah, there you go. Good job, Jazz. They're just rolling now. They're hanging out in... still in 10th, 34-30, but they are tied with the Clippers on wins and only one win behind the Nuggets for 8th. The problem is they're 1.5 games back thanks to 2 losses. So tough one, tough one. The Jazz got to climb uphill, but they've won 3 after they won their 11th straight and lost 2. So on your Jazz, got to keep that up. The final game of the night, an absolute bloody belter. The Blazers win 108 in LA over the Lakers, 103. What a game, what a finish. So tasty. The 2 best win streaks not owned by Houston or the Pelicans meet. 6-game win streak Blazers, 5-game win streak Lakers, and Blazers make it 7 in a row. And also 15 in a row over the Lakers, going back to basically, I believe it was 2012. Jesus. Blazers had an absolute rubbish third quarter. Notorious KCP went off a little bit. And the Lakers got up by 10. But it didn't matter. Didn't matter. Because of Dame fucking Lillard! Dame! Holy shit, if you want to forever better than Lonzo Ball, thanks to PDX Pete. Good call on that one. Dame went absolutely fucking ballistic in the fourth quarter. Right at the death with 4 minutes left. They're down massive. They're down 10. Dame just goes, actually, I'm Dame Lillard. Fuck you, look at my giant balls. Hits 4 straight three-pointers. Absolutely amazing. One basically from the logo. He's like, I've crossed half court. This is close enough. Bang! Right in their face. This was absolutely ridiculous. What an absolute showing. He is a fucking superstar. Thing is, he kept the Lakers in the game because he kept missing his fucking three throws, man. Missed 3 of his last 4 that would have completely sealed this. But the end of this game was an absolute laugher. So the Blazers get up. And they're like, all right, man, we're good. We're good. We can probably win this. What do you reckon? And they're up 3. The Lakers, 5 seconds left, are like, oh, okay, so we've got to hit a 3 to tie this. What do you reckon? The Blazers fouled. A dead ball tech foul before they inbound the ball. So they have a free throw. And Isaiah Thomas, the king in the fourth, misses the free throw to send it to 2 point, to make it a 2-point deficit. And then they inbound the ball. Lonzo throws it up to Brook Lopez across the other side of the court. Ugh, gross throw. Lopez kind of drags it down, gets it to Isaiah Thomas, who kind of half bounces it, gets stripped basically, kind of goes up, is trying to flail around for a fucking foul or something. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's it. It's all over. And then he gets stripped by Shabazz Napier when the ball is inbounded, and that's it. And then they foul Baz, and the game's done. Isaiah Thomas, man, had a rough night. 5 of 21. 21! He goes 1 of 9 from 3. It was brutal to watch. Notorious KCP has 16 points, went absolutely crazy, as mentioned, in the third, and got the Lakers over the... got them up and gave them the best chance to win. Julius Randle had 21 of 9, but come on, man. Damian Lillard. 39 points on 12 of 25 shooting. 6 of 11 from 3, including those 4 straight to basically get the Blazers back in it and then get them fucking up. It was an absolutely righteous call. It was so much fun. Good job, Blazers. Nurk had 16-16. CJ had 22 and just out there killing. Underrated, just having 2 dudes who can handle the ball at all times. And Lonzo, we'll talk about him in a second. But, you know, Lakers playing without Brandon Ingram. Put up a fight. There goes their 5-game winning streak. That's the first loss they've had at home in 2018. Not bad. Blazers, have won seven straight inside track for the number three seed now, which is absolutely bananas. And by the way, the Pelicans have won eight straight and they're currently the fourth seed. Who'd have thunk that, man? Blazers and fucking Pelicans in 3 and 4. Unbelievable. Told you the Spurs and Wolves are going to slip. Hey, we're calling it. All right, speaking of which, let's move on to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's not that nice. That's a knife.
Oh, it's got to be Dame Lillard. He turned into a fucking flamethrower. 39 points. Get the fuck out of here. 12 of 25. Those four straight were absolutely delicious. It was Steph Curry just like esque in the old, fuck it, I'm hot. I'm going to pull up from here and just nailing everything. It was very, very cool. Good job, Dame Lillard. But one extra thing I want to say for the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night is Larry Nance. Outdoing his old man. So they made their starting debut for the Cavs 30 years apart, basically. Absolutely amazing. And Junior has his career night. So when Senior made his debut for the Cavs on February 29, 30 years ago, 1988, Senior had 17 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. Not bloody bad. Larry Nance Jr., however, 22 points, 15 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 0 blocks. 30 years later. That's awesome. He also dunked on Blake like 4 different times. And more importantly for the Cavs going forward, he topped Tristan Thompson's season high in the first half. Not bloody bad. Also, look, honorable mention to Kyle Anderson falling out of bounds, throwing the ball up near the basket, randomly just throwing in, behind him towards the basket, and Davis Bertans was there for the alley-oop. That was a knife. Bam, they needed it too. All right, who's old mate, no mates? Let's get to that.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? Oh, it's got to be J.R. Smith, man. Dude, you can't throw soup at a coach and suck. It's one or the other. One or the other, J.R. Come on, 4 of your last 5 games, he's totaled 11 points. He had 0 last night, 4 against Brooklyn, 2 against San Antonio, and 5 against Memphis. Come the fuck on, J.R. Smith. What are you doing? You're killing me, buddy. You're killing me. All right, let's get to, we're going to do our new Tankapalooza update. What do you reckon? Let's give it the, this one. So Tankapalooza so far, what do we got? We've got the Atlanta, in last place, we have the Memphis Grizzlies at 18 and 45. Not bad, Memphis, not bad. Just as well you fired David Fizdale, you fucking idiots. Phoenix Suns, 19 and 47 in second. Dallas Mavericks in third at 19 and 45. Then we have the Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks tied. Oh, and the Brooklyn Nets all tied at 20 and 44. So that's through, and Sacramento, holy crap. So you've got four teams tied basically for fourth through eighth in our Tankapalooza stakes. And then the Chicago Bulls bringing up the rear, unfortunately, in ninth at 21 and 42. What are you doing? Come on, Bulls. You got to lose. So the Nets are going to have to like get some randomly cheap wins out of these Orlando, Atlanta, Memphis, Phoenix, Dallas games that they might end up having. Because they're going to they're sitting there going, we're going to give like the fourth pick to like Cleveland. Cleveland. Come on. So let's do it. Let's go, Nets. Just get out of that morass. But there you go. So that's the Tankapalooza update. We're going to do that every day just to see how they're going. So let's get on to Better Than Lonzo Ball for today as well.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. This is your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. It is hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. Now, Lonzo had a pretty good game. And Donovan fucking Mitchell, repeat winner, back-to-back winner, 19-5-4, but didn't have a great one. It's 6 of 16 shooting. Not great there, Pelo. And 1 of 7 from 3. So not a great statistical night, really, for Donovan. 19-5-4 is not too bad. But those percentages were tough. But the thing about Donovan Mitchell last night was he dominated when they really needed him to. Orlando were pushing. Donovan Mitchell goes, all right, guys, hey, just look, I'm going to get fouled a bunch of times and we're going to settle this one. So he goes 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Really sort of measured and smart plays. All of them, basically. He really just settled down the Jazz, sorted them out. It was very good. He was getting to the line like James Harden there for a second. It was good. So good job, Donovan fucking Mitchell. But Lonzo had a good game. Really good game. It was fine. Goes 3 of 7 from three for his 10 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. Look, it was fine. Probably could have come up with a better play at the end. He's also a bit of a dork wearing like a kajillion things underneath his like Lakers uniform. He kind of looks like a giant spaz, but that's all right. Anyway, so since he came back in his 5 games, Lonzo is scorching hot from three. He's 17 for 29 on 3-pointers. That's 58.6%. Not bloody bad. So there you go. Good job, Lonzo. Good job, Donovan Mitchell. That was better than Lonzo Ball for today. All right, let's move on to, it's Tuesday, so we have our weekly. What do we have our weekly? Tuesdays? It is the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Guy going off of the week All-Stars Hall of Fame. Let's do it. So 20 years ago today, Lamon Murray. That's right, the immortal Lamon Murray. Playing for the LA Clippers, put up a randomly terrific 24-9 game for the Clips. And he went 9 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3, had 3 steals and assist, only played 34 minutes because he fouled out, which is crazy, man. 1998, the Clippers were hardcore clippering all the time. But that was just like, oh shit, Lamon Murray. I remember that guy. He was awesome. Like, for a couple of years, in that way that, like, random Clippers wings were always just kind of okay, and they're, like, randomly average, like, between 13 and 16 points. Like, remember Al Thornton? Come on, man. But the idea of this random going off is Lamon Murray had a career-high 40 points against the Warriors on the 2nd of January back in 2002. In 38 minutes, he went 16 of 23 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, also had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. That is an amazing going off and a really big win. So, on ya, Lamon Bloody Murray, you are our Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Guy going off of the week All-Star Hall of Fame for this week. Good job. All right, let's get through to the Yeah Nahs right after this. G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya. It's Yeah Nahs. We take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, are the Mavs the best tanking team in the NBA? Well, they're currently ranked 3rd, so I don't know. Let's find out. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I love this. This is a great stat. On Friday, the Mavs led the Bulls by 11 points, 10 minutes to play. They're outscored by 28-9 the rest of the way in their loss. It was their league-leading 5th loss of the season when leading by double figures with 10 minutes to play in the 4th quarter. Rick Carlisle is a fucking genius. That is amazing. How do you lose that many games while leading by double figures in the with 10 minutes to go in an NBA game? That is amazing. Good job, Mavs. My money is on you ending up with the worst record in the NBA this year. Number two, the NBA have announced that they're getting involved in high school ball and like looking at high school players and like setting up maybe academies or at least getting involved more in the high school basketball game here in the States. Is this a good idea? Yeah, nah. Yes, of course it is. I love that they're looking at like not propping up the NCAA and that whole entirely corrupt amateur bullshit. Whether it be through the G League, whether it be through academies, whether it be through like taking a better, more progressive approach to AAU ball. I don't know. I think just getting kids away from like the weird sort of sketchiness of underhand payments and stuff like that, and like just giving them an actual job opportunity and setting them up in the way through, like, you know, year 10, 11, 12, or as it would be over here, your sophomore, junior, senior years. Like, it just makes sense, and it's weird that they're not doing it more now. Number three, it's great that Kevin Love came out and spoke about mental health in his piece about his panic attack and therapy sessions on the Players Tribune last night. Yeah, nah, yeah, of course it is. There's no fucking joke. Like, so much of the game is mental. It's crazy. We don't spend more time thinking about it. Like, just talking about mental health and focusing on what are the right ways to go about maintaining healthy sort of mental health, it's only going to have good outcomes. So good job, Kevin Love. I'm proud of him. That's amazing. And anyone who comes at Kevin Love about this is a fucking flog right there. I mean, he'll probably get shit talked, but I don't know. I feel like he's tough enough. You move through it, you deal with it. And that's what mental health is all about. Dealing with it, expressing yourself, talking it out, working through it, how it goes. Final yeah nah, LeBron is more likely to move to LA now because he's going to want to chase Kobe in the Oscar stakes too. And he knows it's only going to happen if he's an LA legend. Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, think about that for a second. Like, LeBron's kind of like, shit, man, Kobe gets an Oscar. You reckon I'm ever going to win an Oscar in Cleveland? Nah, man, going to do it. Which leads us to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Kobe never would have won that Oscar if he wasn't from LA. I don't know if that's unpopular, but it's just it's kind of fact, isn't it? He never would have won an Oscar if he wasn't from LA. Come on. What, you reckon LeBron made Dear Basketball when he was in Cleveland? Do you reckon he would have won that? Get the fuck out of here. All right, let's get on to the NBA Australian Player Watch right after this. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, man, it's the NBA Straya, Australian Player Watch. Oh, we check up on everybody, see how they're going. Ben Simmons, what's he up to? Oh, he's just out there hitting up smoking hot baddies on Instagram. Go check out our Facebook for that. Oh, Ben, Rookie of the Year. Baller on the streets, baller in the sheets. You the real MVP, Ben Simmons. Dave is proud. Patty Mills, win over the Grizz, as mentioned, didn't have a great one. 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting. Has 1 rebound, 1 assist, goes 1 of 5 from 3. And makes the rest of them up on free throws. Look, he's struggling. 5 of 22 over his last 4 games from 3. Not great, Patty, not great. Waiting for that bounce back, though. He had 21 5 games ago. Looking forward to him bouncing back. Joe Ingles, win over the Magic. Huge game for the Jingler. How you going, mate? 18 points, 7 of 15, 4 of 8 from 3. Holy moly. The Jingler just out there crushing it on his way to almost a triple-double. Because not only did he have 18 points, he had 8 rebounds and 7 assists. And just lazily threw in 3 steals and a block. This was ridiculous. It was so much fun just seeing him like meander through stuff and just go, all right, man, I've got the magic under my... app. I got him. So he's still second in three-point percentage in the NBA. He's 44.6, trailing Klay Thompson at 44.9%. Not bloody bad, Joe. That was awesome. One of the best games you'll see him play. Absolutely smashing it. How about Dele? Oh, Dele! Oh, he's not back yet. Didn't make it into the Bucks game against the Pacers last night. But Thon McCur did. Thon Song. Played 18 minutes, had 0 points. Oh, Jesus. Goes 0-4 from the field, which is including 0-2 from 3. Has 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals. Still, figuring out his role after a couple of games of only 5 minutes while Jabari Parker and John Henson are eating up all those front court minutes. It's a bit tough for Thon at the moment. Hopefully he finds a groove. Aaron Bangers Baines win over Chicago in a massive blowout. Bangers still only gets on there for 18 minutes. He has 4 points, 7 rebounds. Oh, not body bad, Bangers. 1 assist and 1 block. The Celtics are now 34-15 when Bane starts. How's Andrew Bogut? Nah, he's just hanging out on the couch, screwing around on Twitter. Mango Matthew Young, we'll check up in a second. Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Ah, it's the big question. About to be coming back soon. Still just getting... He says he's day-to-day. The Jazz say, gotta go through a couple more contact training drills. See how you go. Come on, Dante. Let's get him back. I want to see him next to Donovan Mitchell's son. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, Kyrie. Yeah, he sat out last night. So he had a case of the Bulls suck. It's Tuesday, so let's check in with Mango Mathiang down there with the Greensboro Swarm. How is Mango going? 3 games in the last week. He started all of them. A loss last Wednesday to the Bayhawks. He played 19 minutes. He had 6 points, 10 rebounds. Not bad. Lost last round to the Skyforce. I love that there's a G League team called the Skyforce. 22 and a half minutes. Absolute Barry Crocker for Mango, though. 0-7 from the field. Absolute shocker. 0 points, 3 turnovers, but he still had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block. Not bad. Win over the Red Claws on Sunday, the main Red Claws as well. Finally, Greensboro get another win. Mango plays 15 minutes, has 4 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. Not bad, Mango. On ya. All right, let's get to the game previews and the Patty Mills Inspiration Board right after this.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stray, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right. Welcome back. It is NBA Stray, the Patty Mills Game Day Ball and Game Day Inspiration Board. Hasn't been updated since yesterday. All it was that Game Day Ball or Game Day hashtag versus Memphis hashtag Go Spurs Go. On you, Patty. All right, so let's get to Tuesday night's Game Previews.
game previews.
Let's do it. Sixers at Hornets. You know, Ben Simmons is out there trolling Instagram and just hitting up smoking hot baddies. And he's also going to be smoking the Hornets, I reckon. Sixers just beat them on Friday. Need to do it again. Hornets are 5.5 games back from the 8th. But they do have a bit of an opportunity here to make some ground. They've got the NBA's third easiest remaining schedule to do the Hornets. Just not against the Sixers. Sixers win that one. Hawks at Raptors. Gross! Raps smash Dennis Schroeder and the rest of the Hawks. Let's go, Raps. Just out there crushing it. Just very, 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 very quietly. Just no problems, mate. And they're also 26-5 at home, so not bloody bad, Raps. Rockets at Thunder. This is going to be amazing. Hey, this is your friendly reminder from a Sonics fan as well that Sam Presti had 3 back-to-back MVPs and only has 1 now. Just saying. This should be fun, though. Really fun. Rusty and Paul George and Melo and Adams versus Harden and CP3 and Gordon and Clint Capella. This is a really, really good litmus test for the for both teams as well, isn't it? Like, so the Thunder are sitting in 7th, 37-28. The Rockets are on a 15-game winning streak. And the Thunder are really just scrapping with the Spurs, the Wolves, the Pelicans, and the Blazers, and the Nuggets for basically all that seeding between 3 and 8. So if the Thunder can pull this out at home, it's going to go a long way to like basically going, oh shit, they're going to be an amazing playoff smoky. And also if the Rockets win, it's like, dude, when are they going to lose? They're already up to their second longest franchise win streak after the 22 that they had back in 08. So let's go. This is going to be great. I think the Thunder might actually just win it. I think they just will have just enough. Nuggets at Mavs. Oh, it's Jokic versus Dirk. I wonder if the Mavs' new strategy is going to play 3 dudes to make sure they lose this one after they played 4 the other night. Give me the Nugs in Dallas. Knicks at Blazers. Oh, Blazers on a back-to-back. Got to fly home from LA. Knicks rolling in. Maybe they're going to be full on those voodoo donuts and stuff. It's like, ooh, this is pretty bready. Rough one even up against the horrible Knicks. The Knicks are 2-14 without the Zinger. Tell you what, he's pretty good.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger. But I reckon the Blazers maybe pull this one out on a back-to-back. Maybe they win 8 straight. Knicks are that bad. Nets at Warriors. Nope. Nets are shit. Warriors win that. Pelicans at Clippers. Oh, let's go, Anthony Davis. Let's see how you go up against DJ. Give me the Pelicans. MVP, Anthony Davis. Let's do it. All right, you know what? That is it for today. Oh, smashed it. Apologies for sounding like I've got like a fucking laundry peg, clothes peg on my nose. It's brutal. It's all this changing weather. It's like, it's snowing, it's warm, it's snowing, it's warm, it's snowing, it's warm, you bastards. God damn it, New York, you're killing me. Anyway, that has been NBA Australia for today. We're back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us up on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook over at NBA Australia. It's all good stuff all the time. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Chuck us a nice rating and review while you're at it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia. And they're also playing a really massive show at the Corner Hotel in Melbourne with 3 Australian legendary bands. They've got Painters and Dockers. They've got Celibate Rifles. And they've got X. And I believe it's May 1. Go check out thecornerhotel.com for details. Love Mason House Hats. They're awesome. Check out the legends as well at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, The Kits, The Ramshackle Army, because they had all the tunes playing behind everything else we're doing here this episode. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. If you've got a band, let us know, and we'll maybe chuck a tune into the rotation there. Check all those bands out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. They're awesome. And that's it, man. Stick around for a special episode of Joe Ingles, HR Manager. Oh, geez, that's going to be good. And we will catch you tomorrow. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Hosan! G'day, it's Joe Ingles here, and this is my weekly front-facing appointment in the NBA Australia office. Taking a break from drinking, dunking, and sinking, that's coffees, balls, and threes, respectively, to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. No, and I've seen your tweets, and HR doesn't mean hairline receding manager. But you see, I didn't go to uni in Canberra just to play basketball. I also majored in human resources, so I'm qualified to help out with any questions you might have on pretty much any topic. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. So let's get to today's question. It comes from Stephen in Oklahoma City. Dear Joe, My name's Stephen, and I have got a quick question for you about workplace relations. See, I've been at the same organization for a while now, and we've got a guy here who everyone loves, and that I love as well, actually. But I feel like I do a lot of the heavy lifting behind the scenes for him and don't get much credit for his and our organization's success. Do you have any advice? Thanks, A bro, Stephen, OKC. Oh, well, that's a great question, Stephen. Glad you wrote in. Look, every workplace presents numerous unique challenges, and employee relations are tricky. If you don't think you're getting enough credit for your work, it's worth just sitting down with them and clearing the air, usually over a quick double shot flat white. I found that most things can be sorted out with a quick sit down and a coffee. Another approach might be to talk to management and air out your frustrations and let them know how you feel and see if there's anything they can do to perhaps acknowledge your contributions to their success. Management will usually try to do right by their employees and really should, especially if they can highlight on their core competencies. And if they struggle in that regard of employee empowerment and mutuality of interest, you could always perhaps look at a change of scenery, just saying. A lot of this comes down to you, Stephen, and figuring out how much attention you feel like you need for your contributions. After all, as we say in HR, a well-written internal memo is cooler than Kanye. Anyway, there you go, Stephen. Hopefully that helped you out a little bit, and best of luck getting people noticing what you're up to. And once you've properly managed and focused your human resources to figuring out what workplace environment is best for you, you'll be on the track to organizational success in no time. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the H&R Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.